The present talk deals with rigorous global optimization of impulsive client-to-client transfers. With the client-to-client, we mean the simplest case of interplanetary transfer, so we just connect one planet, let's say Earth, with another planet, for example Mars, without exploiting any gravity assist maneuver. With impulsive, we mean that the propulsion system that we use is a chemical propulsion system, and we can model the action of this propulsion system as an instantaneous change in the velocity. So the work I'm going to present is has been done in collaboration with Luigi Delizia, Giacomo Aquino, and Martin Bell. The motivation behind this work is that space activity is expensive. In fact, sending to space 1 kilogram of spacecraft costs like $20,000. So the goal here is to minimize the spacecraft mass, and in particular to minimize the propellant required to achieve the mission. In fact, the propellant can be more than the 40% of the spacecraft mass, so minimizing the propellant means that we can save a lot of mass and so a lot of money. So you can change the slide. The outline of the work is the following. First of all, I will introduce the dynamical model adopted and the method used for design the transfer, which is called patch conic approximation. Then I will explain two basic steps for evaluating the objective function, and these steps are the Semeris evaluation and the solution of Lander problem. And at the end, I will show the results that we have obtained by applying a differential algebra-based global optimizer and the rigorous global optimizer COSIGO. When I speak about, when I say differential algebra, I mean Taylor approximation, and instead, when I speak about rigorous global optimization, I'm talking about Taylor model. So, the dynamical model used to describe the spacecraft motion is a simple two-body problem. This means that in every moment of the trajectory, our satellite just feels the gravitational attraction of a single body. So, for example, let's say of Earth, of the Sun, and the other planet. The dynamical system is the one given in the slide. So we have just one gravitational force, and in this case, the solution of the problem is analytical, and the trajectory of the spacecraft is a conic arc and can be an hyperbolic arc, a parabola, or an ellipse based on the energy level. So the method we use to design the transfer is called patch conic approximation, because you can see that the transfer between the Earth and the arrival planet can be split in three phases. The first one is an Earth escape, then we have a heliocentric phase, at the end we have a mass capture. So in each of these phases, we have just the gravitational attraction in the first case of the Earth, in the second of the Sun, and in the third of Mars. So we start from an Earth orbit, and the spacecraft is then injected by the propulsion system into an hyperbolic escape trajectory. Then when we go sufficiently far from the Earth, we have that the main force is the Sun, and we enter in the heliocentric phase. Here the satellite follows an elliptic path until it reaches the planet, and when we are close to the planet, we are injected in a hyperbolic orbit, which ends at the final desired orbit. In order to change the hyperbolic arrival leg into the desired final orbit, we need to fire the propulsion system again. So we have just two impulses, one for leaving the Earth and the other to be captured at Mars. Okay, so slide. So as I said before, the transfer, planet-to-planet transfer, is the simplest case of interplanetary transfer, But even this problem is quite simple to in the formulation. The optimization is quite complex. We can see at the top right of the slide the objective function. This objective function is characterized by several local minima and a periodic behavior. This periodic behavior is connected with the phase relative between the two planets involved in the transfer. This, the solution of this problem can be seen as the first step to reach the, our final goal that could be, would be the optimization of multiple gravity axis transfer. So now I will describe the way in which the objective function can be computed. First of all, the optimization problem has just two variables. These variables are the departure epoch T0 and the transfer time transfer, the time of flight. Once that we have these two values, we can compute the position and the velocity of the starting planet and the arrival planet by evaluating the so-called ephemeris function. So for the Earth, we evaluate the ephemeris function at the departure epoch, and for Mars, at the departure epoch plus the time of flight. In this way, we have the two position of position vector of the planet, and we can link them by solving a Lambert problem. After we have solved this Lambert problem, we have the heliocentric velocity V1 at the beginning of the transfer and V2 at the end of the transfer. We can then subtract from these two vectors the velocity of the planet, and we can compute the relative velocity at the departure, which is called V1 infinity, and the relative velocity at the arrival, which is labeled as V2 infinity. So, next slide. We compute the 2 delta V required to accomplish the transfer. So, on the left, we have a parking orbit around the Earth characterized by a circular velocity VEC. Then we have the V infinity 1 at the sphere of influence of the Earth, and we can design an hyperbolic arc that has its pericenter lying on the parking orbit. We can compute the velocity at the pericenter of this hyperbola, and then we can just compute the velocity influx required in order to inject the spacecraft from the parking orbit into the hyperbolic escape orbit. We can make the same thing for the arrival at the arrival. We have P2 infinity. We have a final orbit described by his circular velocity. We can compute the precenter velocity of the hyperbola intersecting the final orbit, and then we can compute the impulse required to break the spacecraft into the desired final orbit. So the objective function is the sum of these two impulses, and we can also put a constraint on the starting delta V, because the delta V is given by the launch system. So is, its value is limited by the launch system that has been selected. So, next slide. Okay, we have now to focus on the ephemeris function and on the Lambert problem. The ephemeris function has been done by interpolation of the JPL 1. This interpolation gives us, for a given epoch, the orbital parameters of the planet. Once that you have these orbital parameters, we have to solve an implicit equation, which is called Kepler's equation, in order to compute the true anomaly theta, and so that at the end we can compute the position and the velocity of the celestial body we are looking at. So the main thing here is that we have to solve this Kepler's equation. Recently we have done a new version of this ephemeris function based on cubic flying interpolation of JPL ephemeris, and this problem of solving the Kepler's equation has been avoided, and this is very important when this equation must be solved in a validated way. The second problem to be solved, slide, okay, is the Lambert problem. The Lambert problem is a well-known problem in astrodynamics. We have two position vectors, in this case are the position vector of the two planets, and a time of flight. And we want to compute the conic arc that connect these two position vectors in the given time. This is a classical two-point van der Waals problem, and it has just one solution. The solution slide. The solution, there are several algorithms that can compute this solution, and we have adopted the one developed by Batin. The important thing here is that we have to solve another implicit equation. The implicit equation, we have to search for x so that we have log of a minus log of time of flight equal to zero. In this equation depends on both the optimization variable, the time of flight and the time of transfer, because the parameters that appear like beta and alpha depend on the position vector of the two planets, and they depend on the optimization variable through the ephemeris function. So we want to stress here that we have to solve implicit equation. So in the next slide, we show the method that we have used to solve the implicit equation in VA frame. So the goal here is to find x so that f of x and p is equal to zero for p, which is a parameter belonging to an interval defined by p lower and p upper. We start our algorithm by finding a nominal solution to the problem, and this nominal solution is the solution for the nominal value of the parameter. We use like a Newton method, and we have the nominal solution x0. So then we can initialize both the x and p, the parameter, as VA variable, and we can expand the implicit equation map. So we have a Taylor approximation on the change of the function as a function of change in function in x and p. Then we simply add to this map, we add this map, an identity map in the parameter, and we invert this map. Then we want that the solution, to find the solution of the implicit equation for every value of the parameter, so we set delta f to be equal to zero, and in this way we obtain the Taylor expansion of the solution with respect to the parameter. So we have delta of x as a function of the change in the parameter. In this way, next slide, we are able to compute both the ephemeris function and the objective function in the VI frame. In this first slide, I show the Taylor approximation of the ephemeris of mass in an interval of 40 days. In particular, I show the error on the position and on the velocity by comparing the Taylor approximation with the pointwise evaluation. We can see that in the expansion point, which is in the middle of the picture, we have zero error, and then the error grows as far we go away from the expansion point. And of course, the error is lower when we adopt higher order Taylor expansion. For example, for a 10th order expansion, we have errors which are very, very low. So, in the next slide, we show that by evaluating also solving the Lambert problem in DDI frame, we are able to obtain the Taylor approximation of the objective function. And in the two picture, we have the Taylor approximation of the objective function for a box width of 40 days in both sides. And then on the right, we have the error between the pointwise evaluation of the function and its Taylor approximation. We can see that the error, in this case we use a fifth order, the error is lower than meter per second. So this is the worst thing to evaluate the objective function
in via frame, we can now start talking about the optimization. So in the next slide, we have the definition of the optimization problem. The search space is 1,000 on the, we have a search space which is quite big. We have 5,000 days on the departure epoch and 500 days in the time of flight. Then we have a constraint on the starting delta V. So we force the first delta V to be lower than 5 km per second. Again, we have the landscape of the objective function. You can see the periodic behave and the local minima, which are quite close one to the other. So the first slide, the first technique we have applied for the optimization of the problem is a DR-based global optimizer. We start the optimization by making a grid in the optimization variables and by setting a cutoff value for the optimization value, for the objective function value, sorry. So for each interval x, we compute the Taylor approximation of the delta V1 and the objective function delta V. Then we bound both these values. So first of all, we bound the first delta V and we check the lower bound. If the lower bound is greater than the the maximum delta V allowed, we discard the interval. Then we bound also the objective function delta V, and again, if the lower value is greater than the current cutoff, we discharge the box. Then, for the box that are not discharged, we build the Taylor approximation of the gradient of the objective function, we invert the map, and we look for the estimates by setting the gradient of the objective function to be equal to zero. In this way, we can compute x star, and we check if this star, x star, is within the box that we were analyzing. If it is outside, we just discard the box. If the value is inside the box, then we evaluate the objective function and we compare it with the cutoff. So if the value is lower than the cutoff, we update the new cutoff. By proceeding in this way, we are able to localize the optimal value of the objective function. So in the next slide, we can see that, first of all, we have in the picture the blue boxes are the remaining boxes after the pruning on the first delta V. Then we have the star which represents the optimal solution found. In this case, we have used boxes of 10-day side and a fifth order expansion. The whole process of for finding the optimal value takes about 1 minute. But the order expansion used is is enough for computing the optimal value using boxes with higher dimension. In fact, we have that in less than 1 second, using a 1000 day box, we can compute the optimal value with enough accuracy. So this is the first method we have applied. The second one is the rigorous one. So all the computation done till now in the DA frame have been extended to Taylor model, to be performed with the Taylor model, so that we can just plug the problem into the global optimizer COSIGEO. We have that. So in this way, we are able to compute an enclosure of the minimum, which includes the value found before, and an enclosure of the solution. The only thing that is apparent here is the computational time is quite high, is more than 1.5 hours. The reason, next slide, of this time, computational time, is due to the fact that the problem present some discontinuity lines so that the optimizer is forced to split the boxes around the containing the discontinuities until they reach a minimum threshold. So in the picture at the top left, we have the box splitting sequence. So we can see that the optimizer is able to find all the discontinuity lines. So for this reason, the optimization takes a lot of time. And for this reason, also, we cannot say that the solution is mathematically rigorous. But from an engineeristic point of view, let's say the solution is the true global optimum of the problem. At the bottom of the slide, we have another example just to show that the scheme works for every planet-to-planet transfer. We have analyzed an Earth-Venus transfer. Again, we have the enclosure of the minimum. We can see that the delta V is quite larger than the one used to go to Mars, so going to Venus is more expensive. And the optimal value of the transfer time is around 163 days, so the transfer is a little bit shorter than the previous one. So we can go to the conclusion now. We have shown that the differential algebra and Taylor model are effective tools for the optimization of planet-to-planet transfer, but the Taylor model approach needs an efficient management of a region containing singularities and also a validated management of constraints. On the other side, we have less problem using just Taylor approximation. And we have, in a recent work, we have shown that differential algebra is a promising technique in order to prune the space, research space for very large problems such as multiple gravity assist interplanetary transfer. And this ends my presentation. So if you have questions.
Thanks, Roberto. What question do we have? Somebody else down the side, hiding. Do we have any questions? No questions. Okay, so then we thank Roberto. Maybe I should step in there. I don't know where we can see me.
Yeah, hi.
Okay, so thank you very much. It was very nice, and I also enjoyed your very nice background there.
Yeah.
It can compete with
we are intelligent.
So, you know, it's almost at the level of Da Vinci. Okay, great. So we will see you later.
Okay, see you later with
Da Vinci. Actually, one question, I think. I'm sorry. Did I not see you? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So there is one question, okay?
Objective function being delta V1 plus delta V2, it's not obvious to me that that is what minimizes the amount of fuel that you use in, so that must mean that the amount of fuel is proportional to the delta V, is that correct?
I will relay that question. So the question was pertaining to the objective function being the sum of delta V1 and delta V2. And so the question was to what extent that really represents the desirable quantity, which is the amount of fuel that we are expanding.
Oh, yes. So there is just a simple relation between delta V and the propellant mass, which is called the rocket equation, and is like an exponential or logarithmic, depends on which way you look at. But this is the usual way that we use for optimize impulsivity transfer. So if you minimize the delta V, you are sure that you are minimizing the spacecraft mass in this impulsive approximation. If you consider that you don't have impulsive approximation, then you have to integrate also the mass equation. So you have to add another equation in the dynamical system and so you avoid, and in that case you maximize the mass of the satellite, or minimize the propellant use.
Actually connected to this, so in the beginning, what fraction of the mass of the satellite is actually fuel?
In this case, oh, so 5. It depends on the engine, so on the specific impulse. So in this case, I would say that if you use, so we have to split the thing, because usually the first delta V is given by the launcher, so it's not a propellant of the spacecraft, and the second one is the is achieved by using the spacecraft engines. So if you just consider the second one, and with an average propulsion system, the mass is around the 40% of the spacecraft for the second turn.
Because for multi-gravity things, then it may not be really quite so precise to use just the difference in velocities, because, you know, when your spacecraft is light, you know, in the end, when most of the fuel is already burned, then achieving a certain change in velocity is easier than it is in the beginning when it's still heavy.
Yeah, but you take into account that in the rocket equation. So first, you have the first fire, and then you compute the new mass, and then at the end you have the second mass. So in the usual way we do this kind of calculation, we take into account that the mass is not constant, but just jumping is not a continuous thing, so we have just discontinuities also in the mass of the spacecraft.
Yeah. Okay.
The low thrust case is different. So if you are optimizing a low thrust trajectory, so when you have the engine that is firing most of the time, for sure you have to use the mass equation in the optimization problem. In the case you are forced to use that, but for a chemical propulsion system, this approximation is quite accurate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, other questions? Other questions? Okay. Well, then we thank Roberto again.
Okay.